I was thinking today that my message is going to be on unity, harmony, and ties right in with what Jody was sharing about the joy. So I'm going to start off with this, that many people who call themselves Christians couldn't answer this question. And this is the question: have you entered the kingdom of God, and do you abide there? And for many, they would have to say, "What? What are you talking about?" And it's so simple to get born again. Just simply hear the gospel, hear the story, and say, "I agree with that. I believe that." Bam, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You got a brand new spirit, new heart. Sins are all forgiven. But from that point on, you have the choice of whether walking in the kingdom, entering the kingdom, functioning in the kingdom, or staying where you were. And there are two kingdoms, and they'll have different sets of rules and different ways of going. So part of it is those who learn to walk in the kingdom, they walk in, as Paul said, he said, we're not looking at things that are seen, we're looking at the things that are unseen. And so there's a seen world that is temporal, and everything in it changes. That's one thing I keep encouraging myself. Whatever situation you're in, it can be changeable. But then there are things that are not changeable, that are eternal and not temporal. And those are things that you can't see with the natural eye, but they're in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom runs with a different king. And with a different king, different laws, different rules, different ways of doing things. So in the kingdom of this world, you can do things to prosper, you can do things to enjoy your life, da 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 da. But in the kingdom of God, that all the joys of life and all the increase of life and the healthiness of life and the prosperity of life, it's all available too, but it doesn't run on the same rules. It's a different king and a different set of rules. So in the natural realm, you can do things honestly and prosper, or you can also do things deceitful and prosper. In the kingdom of God, the whole rules is your trust is totally not in the system at all. Your trust is in the kingdom. And your trust you sow that way, you believe that way. And what's really cool about it is by just looking at somebody's life, you can't always tell where they got their prosperity, where they got their health, where they got their joy, because both kingdoms can have that. But in the kingdom of God, the source is coming from him and from this unseen world. Now, in some ways, I can see where people just say, well, I'll just go with what I know in the natural realm that's working for me. But the problem with that is when that natural realm hits snags, we hit war, we hit disasters, we hit health issues, then you're sunk. In the kingdom of God, you're always working with the higher power. You're working in the spiritual realm, and you're literally living off of that. So everything, can be drying up in the natural, so to speak, like, when there was a drought and Isaac kept on sowing and reaped. But the Bible talks about how your life can prosper even when there's nothing going on good in the natural world. He can still take care of you because you're coming out of a different kingdom. And so for those of us that are hungry and thirsty to walk with him, and we look at the unseen world and not the seen world, and it's a whole different ballgame. So I want to start off with this scripture. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On the surface, this is where most people just say, well, you got to confess your sins or they're not forgiven, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where you get a lot of doctrines, you get a lot of theology, and on the surface, that's kind of what it looks like. But I want to just share, I've shared this a little bit with you. A friend of mine, Guy Dunnick's written a whole book on it if you'd like to read it, in-depth study on it. But the word confess there is two words of single-mindedness, so to speak, and logos. And what it basically means is say the same thing. If we say the same thing about our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unity. It was talked about today in the song about today, but just flowing with the kingdom, flowing with God, flowing with somebody. Powerful thing. So what do we say about our sin? Well, we say the same thing that God says about our sin. What does he say? For some Christians, all they know is, well, sin separates us, and when we sin, we don't have a very good relationship with him. Listen, that was past, that was before Christ, and now that Christ died, he died once for all sins are forgiven. So now, but your sin will separate you from God, but it's not on God's side. He's wide open to you. He doesn't give, do we all know what I'm talking about when I say give you the cold shoulder? You know, just in a relationship, you know, somebody's tense with you. He doesn't give you the cold shoulder at all. If your sin is separating you from God right now, it's simply because you're not saying the same thing about your sin that he is. You're thinking that you did wrong and that God is upset with you and you got to get it right. And then you think you got to confess that sin. And you know, but the truth is, it's really not about you confessing, you know, because some people actually think that if you die and you hadn't confessed a sin, you're held accountable for it. That's ridiculous. He died once and for all and it's all forgiven. So if you say the same thing that he says, then your sin doesn't separate you from God. He doesn't pull you off into a bad corner or anything like that. And what do we say? We say the same thing he says. What's he say? He said, as far as the east is from the west, I've taken away from you. I forget it. I remember it no more. I canceled it out. I judged it and said it doesn't have any power over you anymore. Boy, this is a powerful thing. When you start saying this, the sins that have been, you know, the vices or whatever else that have been holding you in bondage, the way you get free from that is start saying what God says and just said, God canceled out my debt and he canceled out the power of sin. The sin doesn't have, I don't know about you, but I don't like anybody telling me what to do except God. And I don't like being a slave to anything. And so by walking in the kingdom, we walk in more and more freedom. And we walk in unity. Jesus prayed this when he was here on earth. And it says this in John 17. It says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one as we are one. Now, it's not talking about when we get to heaven. He's talking about right now we are on earth. Jesus was praying for us. And he says to the Father, all that you've given me, I'm giving to them. Everything that you've given into me, which is everything, I'm putting inside of them so that they can be one just as we are one. What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thing of what we get to experience on this side of glory, on this, why we're here on earth, to get to be one and with one another. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. So unity, what a sweet deal. Lola, come up here. Give this girl a little hand here. She didn't know I was doing this. So what are you involved in?
Competitive cheerleading.
Did you know there's competitive cheerleading? I should have been in that when I get wound up. So how many in your group?
30. And then 15 on the other one.
30. Mm-hmm. And so briefly, what do you do?
Tumbling, jumps, stunts, traveling, just competing against a bunch of other teams.
So unity is pretty important.
Yes.
The idea is to be kind of synced up?
Yes.
30 of you?
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I would not fit there. There's no way I could ever. I'd be the odd duck out for sure. I can't get the rhythm down. So where did you just go?
Orlando, Florida.
And competed?
At Worlds, we got sixth. We were 0.7 from
first. Wait. Did you say World?
Yeah, Worlds.
Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many people, where were the competition coming from? All over the United
States? Literally all over the world.
All over the world. And you got what?
Sixth.
Six with 30 people that had to be in Unity. Are most groups that big?
In my division, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and how far off, you told me how far off in the points you were.
0.7 from winning.
That's awesome, isn't it? What's it feel like when you're all performing and it's all coming together? I mean,
it's nerve-wracking, but it's exciting at the same time. Like, I don't know, you're there. And when you're, like, before, everyone's nervous. But then when your music starts, you know what you're doing. So.
And it works? And when you get done, what do you feel like?
Tired. Tired.
There's got to be a little bit of joy in there, isn't there? Yeah. I've known you hit it. Awesome. Man, what a perfect example of the unity of flowing together. And it boggles my mind, to be real honest, to have 30 people doing the same thing, flipping people up. And you do some pretty wild stunts, don't you? Yeah. And if they don't catch you, it's not so good, is it? No. Yeah, they didn't catch me when they tried it. We were just doing a blanket toss, and they tossed me up, and then they thought they'd do the whole lay thing. And I landed on the ground. So unity, powerful thing. And this is what Jesus was saying, Father, isn't it cool? He's praying while he's here on earth for you and me. And he says this, I want them to have the opportunity to become one in perfect unity. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter says this, therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, and just as also you were called into one hope of your calling. The one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is in all and through all. We go on to read then in Ephesians, it says this, Ephesians on the 11th verse, and he gave some apostles and he gave some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers and for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Praise the Lord. By the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in the love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And again, these are Paul's encouragement to us about why we're here on earth. That God has set things in motion for what? So that the prayer of Jesus could be fulfilled, that we could be one in unity. As I think about unity, I get really jazzed about it because there is just something so awesome about unity. A symphony that's all playing together. Sports is a phenomenal place for me. People don't always understand with the game of soccer, there's not very many scores and they think it's boring. But when you see the beauty of just 11 people flowing together, working together, it gets more exciting. I don't know, it gets weird, but it gets more exciting than the score because it's just beautiful when you're synced on a job site. Man, there's nothing finer than when you're flowing. Some of my greatest days of joy were just when we were building and we were synced. Now, I will say that it takes an awful lot of work to get there. And attitude makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Do you guys ever get mad and in strife and upset with each other? No, that's why they win. You can't do that if you're going to be in strife. You can't, if you're antagonistic and irritable all the time, you can't enter into it. And just think about that in our daily life. The magnitude of joy that we can have here and of success or whatever you want to call it is going to be so much dependent on our basic attitude towards everyday circumstances to get into unity and not to be obstinate. And yet it's the drug of choice right now, isn't it? Just to be obstinate, just to be irritated, just to be upset about something. It seems like that's mostly what the most conversations are. It just seems like we have more fun about arguing and putting everybody down. But the real joy of life is when it all comes together. And on a job site, like I said, it's not always there. And when it's not there, it's a long day. My friend used to say, I'm tired of carrying that guy up and down the ladder. And I used to, for a while, I thought, I just blew it off. They kept saying, I go, what the heck do you mean? But then I got to think about it, man. There's some people that for you to keep them in the team, you're just carrying them all the time. You're always saying, oh, I got to get you. Come on. Hey, can you kind of get, can you get a hold of that? Can you? But then there's other times that the whole team was just, they're watching everything. The cords were being laid out by one guy, and then the other guys are lining things up, and things just start flowing. Glory to God. I remember when we were flowing good. It was so much fun just to watch all that timber come together. And for me, when the thing was flowing, I was able as a boss to be looking at the whole deal once in a while, working hard. One of my joys was when I see one of my employees, looking for something, and I'd be down there hammering, a wall together, and I'd look up and I could see in my peripheral vision, he was looking for his pencil, and I just go, hey, George, it's over there. Oh, thanks. Because I seen him pull it out and I knew he was going to leave it. Just that harmony, that working together, man, it's just so energizing. It's just so wonderful. And yet it's so rare sometimes. But for us who are in the kingdom, that's what it's all about. It's all about us going in unity. And here Paul is saying by the Spirit of God that God has placed things in us, in the body of Christ, so that we can all come into a unity. And so, what are we here for? That's what we're here for. We're here to learn how to walk in harmony. So how do you do that? Part of it, I think, is just in your everyday life, be aware of it. And it's not like it's like take every opportunity to practice what you want. So even, we're talking about the body of Christ, and that's us, and I have to say thank you, Jesus, for the unity we have. There's been times when there's been strife. It's no fun. On any level, on any group, strife is never fun, in my opinion. It's always disastrous and never productive. But we haven't experienced that for a long time here. It's just been great. And by the way, all those who are listening on the internet all over the world, we're all part of together. I think about it, it says every person brings something to the table, and by every joint we're connected to make this an incredible, perfect thing. And now with technology and everything else, we're connected to people in Singapore, Australia, Albania, all over the United States. And there's so many people in I just want to tell them for a moment, I'm praying for you. I didn't realize how many people were listening and tapping in, and they're connected to us now. And they're giving something to us, and we're giving to them. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in the unseen realm. It's not in the seen realm. And there's this supernatural power and spiritual power in this realm in the body of Christ. And so our connection to the rest of the body of Christ directly with some of these people. Just yesterday we got a little message from Pastor Kenson up in Lo'o. Lo's a little place way up in the mountains of Philippines, and it's their 29th anniversary of their church. And we were there in the beginning, right? And Rich, little Kenson, had borrowed money to buy two pigs for his wedding and went in debt, big time. And he was going to have to spend the next few years to get out of debt of paying for those two pigs or three pigs. And Rich just said, let's just pay for the pigs. And we took up a collection among ourselves and paid for his pigs and put him in the ministry. And that's when the church started. And we were connected. And we still are. And so that's that supernatural kingdom of God realm that that you don't see in the natural. But if you, the more you and I become aware of it, the more we enter into this kingdom, the more that we abide in this kingdom and we think down this kingdom, then actually, you know, we can actually practice these things to make them stronger and stronger. And believe you me, the power of this is incredible. You know, it's not like we don't have trouble, but he delivers us out of them all. You know, I was just talking to Barb, you know, and she said she wanted to tell me, you know, yes, last Sunday I talked about opening a radiator cap and having it blow and somehow it missed me. And then the guy that worked on our vehicle actually his face was all wrinkled. And she said, I got to tell you my story, you know. So her story is her husband, Bob, was working in a Cadillac store, dealer in California, great mechanic. Car came in, overheating Cadillac. He lets it cool down, thought it was cool, opens it up, boom. And man, it covered his face and all his shoulders and burned him instantly and had chemicals in it and just, and so they rushed him off to the hospital and she gets a call to come to the hospital parking lot, was it, or someplace. He was in his Ford 1940 car and knew he, anyway. So it burned him all over his face and shoulders. And he'd have to, the doctors from Vietnam gave him some cream. And just, but every day he'd have to scrape all that off. She said she watched once and threw up. And then put the cream back on. And the next day, scrape it all off for 3 months. But he ended up with one little scar. And I don't know, it's just like, it's not like we can stop every bad thing from happening. But when you're walking in the kingdom and you're walking in unity, there's a power and a force to deliver you from the trouble, to keep you out of it. I hear that story and I just go, whew, God, you are so merciful to me. To not, you know, and that there are those other things I went through, but we can go through, and when you're in the kingdom and in the body of Christ and it's flowing together, everybody benefits. Everybody excels in it. Everybody is blessed. Everybody, and not just protection and deliverance, but then acceleration and increase. You know, to be honest, all through these years of us traveling all over, and doing what we did here through these years, I know there were some rumors out that we must have been dealing drugs up the believers in the early days because we didn't have a big congregation and we didn't have any rich people. But man, we were cranking stuff out. And the Lord blessed us, but also it's not just blessed us with large checks or anything, but man, he just blessed us with the ability and with favor to where we could do things for so much less than everybody else. We made huge trips and huge impacts on people's lives for a few thousand dollars that others would have spent $10,000 to $15,000. And part of it was just because our whole team was willing just to work together. And we'd land instead of taking 2-3 days in a nice hotel to recuperate, we just hit the road, Jack. And I always laugh. The first time we went to the Philippines, Tammy was with us. Who else was with us? Rich was there, Lisa. And we weren't supposed to minister the first night. I mean, it's a long trip over there. And the first time you fly, the jet lag's horrible. And we got there, and it was one pastor, Sammy, found out we're coming, and he just grabbed us from the airport and says, we're going to have some meetings tonight. And I go, what? I mean, we could barely see, literally. And I remember I got up to preach, and Tammy and Lisa and Rich were all on a bench, and I was watching them, literally all but falling off. And then I finally asked Tammy afterward, I said, did you catch what I preached on? And she said, I don't know, but you had 3 or 4 introductions before I fell asleep. Anyway, we just did a lot of things. That was the time I was laying hands on people and the power of God was hitting them and they were going out. And I was going down on top of them, not because of the power of God, but because I was falling asleep while I was laying. I mean, literally, I was falling asleep when I was laying hands on people. I'm just saying, but we had unity. We had we just flowed together and we were excited. And it's just a beautiful thing. But God has increased us and increased us and increased our influence. And it's just sweet. And we never have sold drugs, hallelujah. Thought about it, just never got there. Colossians 3 says this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put on a heart. When you got born again, you got a new heart, you got a new spirit man. The spirit man's perfectly. Your heart is part of your soul. And I don't really understand this. I don't think anybody does. So we still got our old heart with this deceitfully wicked. And we got our new heart that is pure and wonderful. And you got to learn how to walk in that. Your spirit, man, you can't tarnish it. You can't mess with it. It's just perfect and blameless in the image of God. But the heart realm and in the kingdom of God, we know that Mark 4 and all the parables that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God, the way it whole functions is by the thoughts coming into your heart. And so you got to watch over your heart. The Bible actually says, Jesus actually said this. He said, the ones that are going to produce 100-fold, but, 100 times more increase, and some people say, well, you can't get 100-fold. We planted corn on our crop, one of our crops is corn. And I took a couple ears off a stalk of corn once on our farm and just counted them. And so we planted one seed, and then the stalk came, and leaves came, the tassels came, and all that. And then we had a couple ears on there. I peeled them all off and counted them as well over 1,000. That's 1,000 times more than what you sowed. And so even in the natural, you can get incredible rates of increase. And Jesus said, you're going to get 100-fold of anything you give up, anything that you sow, anything that, and everything that you sow into your heart. You sow a word of love into your heart, it can multiply by 100 times. I mean, you think about that. If you just lit that, and yet we don't see that a whole lot. Because why? Most people aren't seeing the kingdom. They aren't in unity. They aren't speaking the same thing that Jesus speaks. They're speaking, oh, I'm failing. Oh, I'm not doing well. Instead of saying, man, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I have the same mind as Christ. Man, I have. And then Paul said it this way. He says, my spirit, man, joyfully connects and occurs with the God. So when you start seeing this, you go, it's like what Jody was saying. We still got our old flesh, but it's been just... We can talk about that all day and relate to each other, but how about we just go on and say, we used to be that way. Now we're walking in unity. Now we see in the kingdom. Now we're putting on this heart, this new heart, and it's joyfully concurs with God. And so then we're looking for unity even when we're driving down the road. And somebody passes us, cuts right in front of us, and we go, nice job. Way to get past me. Even though you're only 2 feet across, I've never figured that one out. But, there's a whole interstate there. And you want to get back in your lane right in front of me. See, I got flesh. But instead of just saying, man, thank God you missed me. Ain't that awesome? I pray that you got to get someplace quick, and I'm praying you get there. Instead of saying, oh, I'll see you in the ditch. We got opportunity all over the place to walk in unity, walk in love, walk in understanding and compassion. Glory to God. And the increase we'll see. And so I believe we're coming into I believe in our particular little body and all over the world, but I also believe that in general terms, the world is looking darker and darker, but when it's darker, grace even abounds. I believe we're seeing the body of Christ coming into unity like never before. It's not unity of joining a group or some big name that's leading it. It's just individual people throughout the kingdom of God all over the world. They don't care about what title their church is or what title their denomination is. They're walking in the kingdom of God, and there's just this incredible unity coming. Because all this, Jesus wants this fulfilled before he comes back. Not after he comes back. So if we keep our mind on that, our mindset on that, instead of all the destruction and all the evil and all the craziness, and I'm gonna start shutting down my mouth about talking about the craziness of within the world right now. I know it's gonna take me a little while to shut that gate. You know, when we ran sheep, one thing we figured out is you could open a gate and try to get them to go through, and they just all look at you like, I ain't going out. But then you get one that's brave and goes through that gate, looking both ways. And man, once that one went through that gate, all 500 head wanted to go through at the same time. We're at that place where we're breaking through. And there's going to be a mass movement of unity in the body of Christ. Like I said, it won't be like times past, the Billy Graham's or Oral Roberts or this big movement. It's just going to be individual people all over the world being led by the Spirit of God, walking in this unity. And it's going to bring the kingdom of God, the supernatural power of the kingdom of God into every area of life, everywhere in the world. And I can hear somebody saying, you know, I don't believe that. That's exactly the point. Most won't. We will. We are believers. We believe this. We see into the kingdom. We see the power of unity. And we put on this new heart. Hebrews says this, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart and upon their mind, and I will write them." He has already written all the rules of the kingdom, all the truths, all the keys into your heart. Jim Richards was saying the other day on one of his little podcasts that if you're born again, God's already written all the law in your heart. But some of us live with so much noise and everything, we haven't heard anything for a long time. We got so cluttered up with other things, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all these lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But that doesn't change the fact that in every person's heart that's born again, he's already written everything pertaining to life and godliness and how to walk in it. It's an instruction manual. And it's not just instruction, but it's a revelation manual. It's telling you what you got. And if you don't know what you got, you can't use it. And if you forget, you forfeit. So what do? We start really, we continue what we're doing. We're listening to our heart, the reborn heart. We're feeding on the Word of God. We're spending time with the Holy Spirit. And we're practicing continuously and have this vision. We're walking in unity. And it's like the cheerleading group. It's cool when it all comes together. It's phenomenal. It's awesome. And if we lift up our eyes and see that and get our eyes off the temporal world of everything that's going chaotic, then the kingdom of God will come to earth like it is in heaven already. It will increase. And it'll just keep drawn in more and more people and more power and more miracles. Praise the Lord. Why not? Anybody can complain. Anybody can gripe. Anybody can tell everybody what's wrong. It's not hard to find something that's wrong, is it? You know, forgive me, but I don't know why I said that. You don't need to forgive me. I don't need to be forgiven. What in the world am I saying that for? I've been a builder. I can get real critical, but I tell you what, I'm practicing and it's working really good for me. I walk into places now and I'm not looking for the mistakes. And it is all right. It's a relief. I traveled with a plumber once. Holy cow. Every building we walked into was 30 minutes of lecturing me on how the plumbing was done wrong. I actually knew enough about plumbing when we got done to plumb my own house. I guess it was some bit of it. But the worst guy I ever traveled with was a health inspector. And what you don't want to travel with is a health inspector. Because he'll find everything wrong with every restaurant and hotel. And we were going from here to Mexico and back. And my God, I was ready to throw him out of the truck. He'd walk into a hotel and come out with a tissue that was all black and say, "We're not staying here." And I said, "I don't want to know where you put that thing to find, you know." I don't know why I said that, but I find it's more enjoyable when you're not looking for all the mistakes. And you just start, you know, we still have to be in this real world, but you can train yourself to see the kingdom, to see the good, to walk in unity. Stop judging, but start, let's really grab a hold, folks. We're on our way. The gate is open. We're going through. There's masses going through. And it is time not to slow down or back off. It's time to increase and see the goodness of God in everything and just be in unity that we're gonna win, 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 win. We're going to win, 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 win. And those grumpy people are going to just get swallowed up, glory to God. And we're going to see more and more healings, more and more miraculous, more and more prosperity, more and more joy. And you know, of all those things, joy is the greater one. I can be without money, and I can have some issues with my body. But boy, it's hard to live without joy. Amen? And why not? Praise the Lord. Unity, an incredible thing. And it's ours, and we know how to walk in it. You know what unity is? Bible says, "I'm going to put a new heart in them." Jesus said this. He said, "The kingdom of God works in an honest heart." Now, an honest heart is a beautiful, handsome, excellent, eminent, choice, surpassing, precious, useful, suitable, commendable, and admirable, beautiful to look at, shapely, magnificent, good, excellent in its nature and characteristics, and therefore it well adapts to everything in an end, and it's intrinsic, and you get a brand new heart in you, and it's just beautiful and gorgeous. Walk in it. Enjoy it. Let it produce. Tenfold. 30-fold, 100-fold. Let the increase come. I'm going to go with our presidency. We're entering into the golden age. I'd rather be in unity with that than say we're entered into disaster. How about you? By the way, when you have this much power in you, because you do, you're extremely powerful. Your words are powerful. Everything you got is powerful. It affects your soccer team, affects your basketball team, affects your cheerleading team, affects everything you go. It affects your finances, affects everything. And you're powerful. But you know, if you and I go negative, we still have a big gun. We do more damage than they do when we go negative. So we don't go negative, right? 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 We've had enough unity of identifying with each other about our failures. It's past. We don't need to do that anymore. We are the victorious. We are the spirit-filled. We are awesome. And we have an honest heart. Last thought. Take some time to think about what an honest heart is. Okay? So you can walk in it. Now, in the Williamson family, and extended all over. We have this deal that we do. So when we're eating together, or anytime, and there's cookies on the tray in the back here, or cake, we have this thing where we'll go and break off a piece. Or we take the knife and take a brownie and cut a fourth, and then we eat the fourth. I'm talking about an honest heart. It's one of your biggest challenges is going to be to have an honest heart. Because in our heart, we're thinking, "I didn't eat the whole brownie. I'm okay. We just went back 6 times, so now we got a brownie and a half." But in our heart, we still didn't eat a whole brownie. That's not an honest heart. We're lying to ourselves. Be aware of the things that you're lying to yourself. And stop it. And I'm not really too worried about your brownies. I'm talking about just stay, keep an honest heart. You know who you are. You are now a child of God. You are blameless. You are beautiful. You are gorgeous. And you know how to walk in unity. And we're changing the whole world every step we take. And everywhere we go, it affects everything we're in. We're the light and the salt, and everything gets better when we show up and when we declare with our mouth what we believe. And we're in perfect unity, saying the same thing God is saying. And God is saying, I'm going to fill the earth with my glory, and I'm going to save mankind. And we say the same thing. Amen? Use your mouth. Use your words all day long. God bless you. God increase you. God heal you in Jesus' name. God strengthen you, give you insight, and fill you with joy. I speak that over you. Amen. Have an awesome week. And look for those half brownies. They're just cheap.